Trump State of the Union from a month back or so. So one of the things he did that I wasn't a big fan of was he mentioned socialism, and he said, the U.S. will never be a socialist country, something along those lines, right? And that was a pretty obvious jab at Bernie and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But as it turns out, there are a rise in popularity of social democratic policies like Medicare for All, that's gaining popularity, a $15 minimum wage, that's gaining popularity, stuff like that. So social democratic positions are gaining popularity, and he emphasized the socialism part, and that's really not what this is all about. He's saying, oh, the implication is that, oh, every workplace is going to be owned by the workers, stuff like that, but that's really not what the social democracy is all about. And Lena, I don't know if you wanted to make a point on that.
Well, I do agree. It's not about socialism. It's really about what the democratic policies are for the candidates. This is what their, like, version of the wall is.
Okay.
And you know how I feel about the Medicare for All. I just don't think the money thing is, right now, it doesn't make much sense of where it's coming from, because if we raise taxes, I mean...
Well, we can't afford it right now. We can't afford our current system.
I mean, it worked in other countries. It doesn't necessarily mean it will work in ours, so...
I disagree on that. But Trump said that the State of the Union was strong, and he really bragged about the economy, and I think that's really unfounded, right? So wages have been stagnant since the 80s, and purchasing power for average Americans has gone down. And further on that point, real wages today are lower than they were in 1963.
Can you give me those statistics?
I don't have the specific citation for that, but I'm pretty confident about that. Now, he was citing job growth as a major, major point here, and he was saying that millions of new jobs have been created, and that's true, but most of those jobs are low-wage service industry jobs. There's not a lot of high-wage, like, manufacturing-type jobs coming back like he said that there would be, right?
Okay, when did he say that?
Well, he was saying that on the campaign. Like, he said we were going to bring manufacturing back. That was a big part of his thing, especially in the Rust Belt. That was a big part of his campaigning there. Like, we're going to bring your, specifically, jobs back.
Okay. I don't know if you can cite that, but I know that he did want to raise, like, job growth. He wanted that to be a major thing. And even if those jobs aren't high-paying jobs, those are jobs. You know, they're getting people money.
That's true, but, like, the vast majority of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. People are struggling, and just having more low-wage jobs isn't really gonna fix that, right? We need a better economy that works more for working people. Now, I don't have a specific citation for this, but I'm super confident that, as of right now, the CEO pay to average worker pay now is somewhere over 300-1, whereas, like, in the 70s, I believe, it was 20-1. So the rich are getting richer, and the average American is struggling to put food on the table.
I do agree that there are certain positions that are being overpaid. Like, for example, professional athletes. I think that's an industry that's way overpaid and not exactly well-deserved. That's just my opinion. I think that money could be going to people who are getting lower pay. I do believe that, because people are really working hard and deserve that money rather than, you know, a football player who gets, you know, millions of dollars per year just for playing games.
I agree with you on that. Now, I wanted to get your opinion on the $15 an hour minimum wage. So, what do you think?
I agree with that. I think it should be that. Because,
okay.
I mean, minimum wage right now is, I think, $7.25?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. I think that's a good idea, actually.
Okay. I agree. it's a really good idea to put more money in the hands of more people, get the economy moving that way, get
yeah.
the grassroots of
well,
the
Well, I don't think he
should
have been bragging about the economy as much as he did. I mean,
right.
as much as I want to, you know, support him in that factor, it's just, you know, it's not realistic.
Right. The economy isn't doing as well as he said he would. Now, I wanted to get to the Democratic primary, right? That's a big thing that's going on right now. And just a while ago, Bernie Sanders has announced for president, right? And I think that right now there's a big shift going on in the Democratic Party between the establishment candidates and the anti-establishment candidates. So that's the old Hillary wing and the Bernie wing, right? So there were a couple names I wanted to mention from the establishment wing. These are the people that I would not under any circumstance vote for, and I'm going to vote in the primary. So Cory Booker.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. So one thing that I just can't forgive is that he is one of the biggest recipients of money from Big Pharma, right? And Bernie Sanders put out a bill to re-import drugs from Canada that were cheaper than drugs that are just sold in stores in the U.S., right? So it was a way to save people money, and Cory Booker rejected that on the grounds of, oh, the FDA isn't regulating it, but Canada's regulations are just as strict.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that, and I will not be voting for Cory Booker.
I 100% agree. I will not be.
Yeah. And then there's Kamala Harris, and she seems to be the big wig establishment type that the media is pushing for right now. And there were a couple things that really put me off on her, right? So when she was asked about Medicare for All, she, at a rally, she said, yeah, let's do it, something along those lines. And afterwards, her aides went to the media and said, you know what, we're open to all options. And at this point,
she got a little ahead of herself.
At this point for me, Medicare for All is really one of the biggest litmus tests for a Democratic candidate. Like, you need to be supportive of this to get my approval, honestly. Okay. And Amy Klobuchar, whoever she is, she's a centrist, she opposes Medicare for All, and she opposes tuition-free college. No. Let's see, Kirsten Gillibrand, she supports Medicare for All, that's alright. However, she is fine with open-ended war, and she supported Iraq, right? And she is pretending to be non-corporate, but she's still doing big money bundling where you, like, go to dinners and invite a bunch of rich people and have them pay, like, $2,700 for a plate of food. Right. And then there's Howard Schultz. Everyone hates him, honestly.
I'm glad you're saying all these negatives.
Yeah.
Just see that for the rest of them.
Yeah, Howard Schultz, he opposes Medicare for All, and he opposes the wall. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get the base of either party that way. He's just pissing them off. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and because of that, he has a 4% approval rating.
Oh, Lord.
I just think that's really funny. Yeah, so now we've gotten to the anti-establishment Dems. These are the people I'm considering, right?
Uh-huh.
So, Elizabeth Warren, she had a big oopsie earlier, right? She was claiming to be Native American, and she was only 1 in 1,024
mm-hmm.
American.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was hilarious. She was, like, using that, too, to her advantage. And when she got that result back, and if I'm not mistaken, she still says that she is.
I don't know to the extent about the using to her advantage, but I'm pretty sure she still does call herself Native.
Uh-huh. I mean, don't they... People get offended a lot nowadays. You know, are these Native Americans? You know, what do they think about that? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know the opinions of Natives on that.
I want to look into that because I don't think they'll be thrilled about that.
I'm sure. Yeah, and then we get to my preferred candidate, Bernie Sanders.
What about Elizabeth Warren?
You wanted to continue about that? Okay.
The tax.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By taxing the rich.
Oh, yeah, so...
Did you just forget about that?
Well, okay, I got ahead of myself.
Okay.
So, there were a couple more things. She's very strongly anti-bank, right? She's anti-big banker. That's a positive to me. She created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I thought that was an amazing thing, right? It just gives money back to defrauded Americans, right? And then she, one thing I don't like about her is that she is kind of willing to cave to the establishment, right? In 2016, she didn't endorse Bernie. She tried to stay out of it, right? And to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure that was a political calculating move. Everyone at that time thought Hillary was going to win, and she wanted to get on the good side of that possible future administration, right? So, you mentioned about a tax.
Yeah, it was taxing the rich to give money back, basically, to the middle and lower class, basically. Tax them more, put more money back in. So, that's not okay. You know, you can't just tax one certain group of people. And you know what? It's going to sound silly, but I mean, it's going to motivate people not to be as successful because they're going to get taxed more. People who are getting taxed more aren't going to want to live here. You know, what if all the rich people move to Canada? What's going to happen then?
I don't think that's going to happen. And I think we've seen throughout American history how that's not true, right? Under Eisenhower, we had a 90% top marginal tax rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had high top marginal tax rates through the golden age of economic expansion, where we had the largest middle class the world had ever seen, right? And so I think we should be following that model more than the Reagan model, more than the current model, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that as the rich have gotten richer,
well, I just don't think there should be a tax just like sectioning those people out.
Well, why not? They've had it very, very good for the last 40 years, and average Americans are struggling. To me, it just makes sense to take their money in the form of taxes and provide helpful services to the average American, right?
Okay, well, I personally don't see how it's okay to, like, section out a group of people.
Well, aren't they already sectioned out?
Are they?
Depending on what amount you make depends
her
on your tax rate.
Yes, and that is true.
Yes.
But she
so they're not suggesting that the upper class would be taxed in a different bracket. They'd just be taxed a little bit more. And they've been increasing taxes for every bracket overall for quite a bit of time.
Okay, well, from my understanding, from what I've read about this, is that she did want to tax them more, you know, a significant amount. That's what I've understood from this. That's what I've read. And if that is the case, I don't think that's all right. You know, if she is sectioning them out like that, and that's what it sounded like, I think, yeah. So I think we can agree to disagree on this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, we both have our different beliefs on this.
Sure. But now I wanted to get to my preferred candidate, Bernie Sanders, right? So, again, in my opinion, he's the best because he has a strong populist agenda and pulled the party left. He's been very consistent. He's been for the same policies for his entire political career, right? And he supports Medicare for All, $15 an hour minimum wage, tuition-free college, Green New Deal, etc. And it's not possible to corrupt Bernie Sanders because he's got a people-funded campaign, and there are a few issues I disagree with Bernie on. I think he's not anti-war enough. I think he's been too restrictive on himself on anti-war issues. Like, in Venezuela, there's, you know,
a lot going on with the president.
Right. And the U.S. is considering invading in order to overthrow that government and input their preferred person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders, he was kind of iffy on that. He didn't come out against it until a few days ago. So I think he's just been okay on that issue in particular. But overall, he's still my preferred candidate. What do you think about him?
You know what I think about him. First of all, okay, not in any rude way, but he's definitely way too old for this. I don't think it'd be a good idea to put him in this high-stress job at his age. You know, I just don't think it's all right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he had some health issues going on.
I haven't heard about any health issues.
It wasn't recent. It was maybe,
okay,
like, yeah. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. I may be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
I know Hillary had some bad health issues.
She was running. She like hinted that she was going to run again. Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard, but I really hope she does.
No.
So that she can get squashed again.
Yeah. No, I hope she doesn't. I honestly don't think she'll try again. I hope she doesn't.
She got thoroughly embarrassed in 2016. Yeah, that was like one of the most winnable elections a Democrat could have. I really
obviously
think that's
not.
True. I think that Hillary was so uniquely bad. I think that's why she lost, because Hillary was the epitome of the establishment, right? She embodied everything that the establishment had been for at least 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. And people, I believe, were sick and tired of it, and they just wanted to throw a wrecking ball into the system, and to many millions of people, that was Trump. And that's the reason I think that Hillary ended up losing in those Rust Belt states, mm-hmm. where people were so
Pennsylvania.
Frustrated with the establishment, yeah.
That was awesome, Pennsylvania, when I saw that. I got very excited. Okay. Getting off topic, just because we've been talking
right.
about these people for a while, I want to get back to the national emergency.
Okay.
Because I think we're very passionate about that.
Sure.
Okay. So, would you like to start?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
So, yeah, my main point with the wall is that there's just better ways to do border security. You don't need a wall through miles and miles of nothing but desert, right? There's not a lot of people going to be passing through there. And if you wanted to reduce drug crime, there's better ways to do it than building a wall. I don't think that a wall is really going to help much with that. I think my main thing is that it's ineffective.
Okay. Well, I don't think, even with a wall or without a wall, no one should be getting across this border at all. No one illegally trying to cross this border should get across it. You know, I think the wall will help. A barrier helps. With those parts that you say, you know, not a lot of people go through the rail, just, you know, vacant spots, people are still getting through that way. It's not, you know, just no people are getting through that way.
To an extent, sure.
Yeah. So a wall will help with those people. With a wall comes more security for the higher demand spots. You know, there will be more security along with the wall to stop drugs and sex trafficking. Houston's one of the biggest spots in Texas for sex trafficking. I mean, that's terrifying. And that's going to and from Mexico. That's getting across our borders. So, yeah, that's just awful. Like I said before, you know, they're bringing diseases in. And, you know, all these hippies wanna go anti-vax on us. And they're gonna get sick, like really, really sick, and get these awful diseases that, you know, Mexico doesn't require vaccinations for. I think if they come over legally, you get the required vaccinations, you know, meet all the requirements to come into America, that's okay. I'm not against, you know, them coming at all. I just want them to do it legally. I mean, with the wall, it's not saying, because this is a big argument. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, you're being racist in a way. I've heard that, you know. It's not because we hate the people on the other side. That is not the case at all. It's just because we love the people on the inside. In a way, it's kind of like keeping your front door open and allowing strangers to come into your house.
Okay.
How would you like to feel about that?
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, but
You need to exaggerate to understand, you know, the consequences of letting these people come over. Because even though, you know, not everyone is committing crimes, the people who do commit crimes are about, you know, they're from these big drug cartels. And, you know, they do really bad things. I've had, you know, friends who've lived in Mexico who've told me all these horrible things they've seen just in the streets of where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there is a city in Mexico. My mom actually just went there, and it has a wall surrounding that city.
Mm-hmm.
Keep crime out.
So, what I would say to all that is that you were mentioning drugs, specifically drug crime,
mm-hmm.
and again, we had this conversation a while ago, but I believe that the way to do it is to legalize, tax, and regulate all drugs. And here's my reasoning. At first glance, it sounds like a crazy idea. A lot of people would think it is, but as I understand it, there's a lot of similarities between the drug prohibition we have now and the prohibition of the 1920s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we had increased gang violence from the mafia, and we had huge and very powerful mafias moving around alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you would see a drop in illegal importation of drugs like cocaine and marijuana if you made it legal to sell and regulate those drugs here in the United States. And that's because it's really the same thing with alcohol, right?
Okay.
Because it's legal in the United States, you don't have these massive underground networks of crime. What do you think about that?
Okay, so in an ideal, perfect world, yes, I can see that working. But you have too much faith in people. There are a lot of people who will take that to their advantage and use it for wrongdoing.
How so? How do you take, like, legal alcohol and take that for your wrongdoing?
Because, okay, put alcohol to the side. We're not talking about alcohol.
No, it's very similar. It's
okay, well, I'm going to talk about my point I'm going to make.
Okay, go.
Okay, so, for example, like in Colorado, how they have those stores and pubs where you can go buy weed.
Right.
Think of that with heroin and cocaine and all these hardcore drugs that
mm-hmm.
are sold illegally, where you can walk in, buy heroin, buy cocaine, buy whatever creepy
mm-hmm.
stuff you're buying. Like,
I don't think it's creepy is an argument against it.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just, it's not healthy. It's not good. Like, to
these are dangerous things, right?
Yes, and I don't think America should just give people the right to possibly kill themselves with overdosing on these drugs, becoming addicted to these drugs.
So, in response to that, I would say that if we are going to legalize, tax, and regulate all of them, we need to have a strong rehabilitation program, like a strong program to help people who are addicted to these substances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that they're...
But if you're using them, you're going to get addicted, so why don't we just not legal...
That's not really the case for every single drug.
Okay, no, you're not going to get addicted to marijuana, but you're
right.
going to, like, if you take heroin or something, if you use it, you're going to get hooked to it.
To be fair, the same thing can be said about caffeine, and that's completely legal in the United States. And you
can
OD on any substance, including water.
Yes, I mean, yeah, you can do that. But think of,
right.
like, how much coffee you'd have to drink to overdose on caffeine.
Are you saying it's never happened?
No, I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just saying it's more likely to overdose on a drug than on caffeine, coffee, energy drinks, stuff like that. Why don't we focus on, you know, rehabilitating these people instead of legalizing it?
So the system we have right now is to lock people up for doing drugs, right? If they're caught with just about any amount of cocaine, heroin, weed, whatever,
mm-hmm.
they get locked up and they throw away the key. So I think that a more moderate approach might be to decriminalize drugs so that people aren't just thrown in a cell for doing drugs, and focus on harm prevention, right? Focus on, like I said, care and getting people off of harmful substances. And what do you think about that specifically?
I do agree. I think that there should, you know, we should focus on that more. I honestly don't think people who are caught with weed should go to jail. I think that's wrong. Like, for example, the people who sold weed in Colorado before it was legal are still sitting in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right. Unfortunately, you know, that happens. I think we should focus on getting them not hooked on these drugs. I think we should focus on get them to become productive members of society.
I think I really agree with that. Now, let's talk about weed specifically. My opinion is that it should be legal for recreational and medical use all over the country.
I think it should be legal for medical use.
Okay. What's your argument against recreational use specifically? Because a lot of people still do it, and they're going to do it regardless of whether it's legal medically or recreationally.
I know, and I know that. It's just, I honestly think it's more of a personal opinion, you
Okay.
know?
So if it's more of a personal thing, I would argue that it's a personal freedom idea to be able to put in your body whatever you want,
And that is
right?
your opinion, yes.
Yeah.
I personally believe no.
Well, that's the thing. If you're not for like recreational, if you're not for allowing people to use this drug recreationally, then that's kind of you putting your feelings about this drug on everyone else.
Well, like I said, I think it's perfectly okay for medical reasons. You know, I have a family member who uses it for medical reasons, and I'm okay with that. But yeah, I just really am not for drugs being legal. Caffeine's a different story. Alcohol's a different story.
I disagree. I think the logic really does extend when you're talking about alcohol and tobacco. And tobacco is way more harmful than marijuana, right?
Yes, there is more harm that comes from that. It's just, I mean, right now in Texas, marijuana is illegal, so,
Right.
yeah.
I don't think it being illegal is an argument for it to stay illegal, though.
I mean, I honestly don't think Texas will ever go for that, or for any legalization.
I think it should.
You think it should, but I honestly do. I mean, think Texas, really. Do you honestly think?
There are a lot of people in Texas who smoke weed that would support legalizing weed. Now, I don't know if
I
that's
guess
the majority
we'll see.
or not, but yeah. Was there any other big issue you wanted to talk about? Anything in the news? I know
I'm
you
trying
would,
to think. What
I
was
know
that?
You would have a lot to say about this character, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Here's one policy she proposed that I wanted to talk to you about, and I think you might disagree on this.
Okay.
She was saying that we should increase the marginal tax rate for people over $10 million to 70%. What's your opinion
Jesus
on that?
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's a lot.
What's your
70%. Okay, that's too much.
On everything, every dollar over $10 million. So if you make $10 million, that's taxed at the lower rates, but if you make $10 million and $1, that $1 is taken at 70%, right?
Yeah, no. Okay, 70% is too much. I think if there was a little bit more taxation on over 10 million. Okay, yeah, but 70%, that's a big number.
We've done it before in the US. We've done it under Eisenhower, like I said. We had a higher than that top marginal tax rate, and it's not unusual in other parts of the world. Like in the US, we have a really lenient policy on corporations and millionaires and billionaires. So I would argue that our current system right now is too lenient on the rich. Like, they're getting away with murder, basically, right?
Getting away with murder?
Yeah, they're getting away with screwing the American people.
That's not murder.
To an extent, it could be. Like,
What?
Okay,
I'm sorry, are they putting guns in their hands and shooting people?
I'm saying, okay, let's get away from the murder thing. I want to get
yeah,
to the main point.
You need to reword that.
I'm saying that the rich have had it very good for a very long time, and they've actually shifted the tax burden from themselves to average working Americans. So I would say that they've really rigged the system in their favor by, like, lobbying politicians and effectively, in some ways, buying our government, right? The EPA head right now, I believe Scott Pruitt, I think, he has sued the EPA multiple times as an oil lobbyist, so that, you know, right now he's effectively hand-tying the EPA so that they can't do their job, right?
Okay, yeah. No, that's not all right. I don't support that. I don't think, you know, from going from what it is now, jumping to 70, I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe
well,
gradually.
Of course, you would increase over a number of years, right? But I think that by the end, I think we would have a more healthy economy if the government was able to tax the rich who make an absurd amount of money right now and put that to goods and services that the average American would benefit from. Like, right now, our infrastructure sucks hard. Like, it's got a rating of D+, whereas we used to have some of the best infrastructure in the world right after the New Deal and the massive infrastructure expansion that came with that.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Venezuela and what's going on there? That's a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah, I honestly think that we should, like, suggest it intervene. I think we really need to get rid of their president right now.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's...
The election was pretty fishy there.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But
authentic.
I want to ask you a question. What do you think about the last election in Saudi Arabia? They didn't have one. It's a theocratic dictatorship. And they're one
that
of our top...
That was such a messed up question.
They're one of our top allies, right? Should we invade them? They're not democratic.
I mean, I would have to know more about that topic to give you a good, knowledgeable answer.
My point is, if we're suggesting that because a country isn't perfectly democratic and there's a lot of crappy stuff going on in Venezuela, that's true, that doesn't mean we need to invade, right? That doesn't mean we need to send our young men and women to die in a war over...
Okay, but they're wanting us. They don't want their president there.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of mixed things.
Because more people are for... I don't know his name, but for...
Juan Guaido.
There we go. They want him in power.
I don't know to the extent whether that's true or not. Because
okay.
I've heard mixed things about whether the Venezuelan people support Maduro or Guaido.
I think people are afraid of Maduro, and that's why they're saying they support him.
I know Maduro is a bad guy, but that doesn't mean we need to invade every bad guy on the planet, right? What I am for if we're going to intervene at all in Venezuela is having the international community come in and oversee the next election that's going on there.
And that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. But I don't think having boots on the ground invading another country for, let's be real, it's for the oil, right? We want to have a guy that's more favorable to our business oil interests than the current president.
Okay. I mean, I agree to an extent, so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, that's really the point I wanted to make, and I'm glad we, to an extent, agree on Venezuela. Just nervous and apprehensive that, you know, we could be in another, like, Iraq or Afghanistan situation. Right?
And that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
No. I don't want
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure the Afghanistan war right now is more unpopular than Vietnam ever was. Like, it's got a 17% approval rating.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to bring this up. It wasn't... Okay, so this actually happened at the Oscars. Did you watch that?
I didn't watch the Oscars, no.
Okay, this is something I've seen, you know, a lot pretty recently.
Are you going to talk about Jussie Smollett?
No.
Okay.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on
I'm
him.
I'm pretty frustrated about that.
Okay,
that's,
so you are about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think it's really
that was wrong.
What he did.
Very, very wrong what he did.
That was really fucked up.
It was. Okay, yeah. Anyways, so
the Oscars, yeah.
The Oscars. When Green Book won for Best Picture, what people didn't see, what was off camera, was Spike Lee apparently got really pissed and tried to storm out of the auditorium. And what I've seen, and there he's saying like, oh, it's because of the White Academy, you know, that they won. One of the main actors in the movie is African American, so what I've noticed a lot recently with, you know, movements for Black Lives Matters and stuff, is when there is an accomplishment for white people, it's just automatically racist.
To an extent, I can see what you're saying. There have been some really dumb protests and stuff going on, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of reasons for black people and minorities to be frustrated with the system as it is. They're a lot more likely to be arrested for doing the exact same crime at basically the same rate that white people are.
Yes,
like black
and
kids.
I do not
right.
really think that's okay.
So,
that's targeting, you
yeah,
know.
To an extent, there's some systematic racism in our society, right? And there's got to be something done about that. What it is, I don't know. But there are valid reasons for black people and other minorities to be frustrated by this.
Yeah, and I mean, there are just some extents where it seems like their argument, they're almost placing themselves above white people. And I've seen that, it's not common, But I've just seen in some of their arguments, it seems like, you know, they're taking something and wanting to twist it a certain way. Another thing along with this, did you know, you know, the Megyn Kelly thing?
I haven't heard about that. No.
Okay, so Megyn Kelly, she had her own show on NBC, and she was talking about on for Halloween back in the day when this was still kind of
Was this normal, like the blackface?
People would, in a way, blackface for Halloween. And she said, you know, black people would put on white makeup too. It's almost like how boys used to dress up for girls as Halloween. That's just how it was back then. And I actually watched a movie, Meet Me in St. Louis. And the boys were dressed up as girls for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And though it does not, you know, it's not okay now to do that, back then, it was kind of a different story. And I'm talking like 50s and 60s.
If we're talking about the 50s and 60s, maybe, but...
Like, now it's not okay.
Yeah, now it's very much not okay.
But she got fired. She got her show taken away from her for making that comment about how it used to be.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, people have had racist tendencies in the past and have moved on from that when society at large has, right? I'm not sure that it's, like, super valid reasons for firing a person for defending blackface in the past.
And it wasn't even, like, defending. It was just saying, like, you know, that's what happened.
Right.
You know?
That's what was. And this kind of reminds me of the Virginia governor,
I forget
his name, but when he did blackface back when he was in high school, and he's...
College, yeah.
And he's getting in trouble for it now.
I think when these people are hired for these jobs, when they get these jobs...
You're talking about governor specifically, or the...
Anyone, really. Like, you know, in, like, an important political or influential job. Mm-hmm. They should look into their past. If they don't find that, mm-hmm. you know, a picture of someone blackfacing in college with their fraternity,
yeah,
I don't think they should have that held against them if they didn't find that originally.
That's, I don't know.
If it was something, like, terrible, you mean, yeah, you have to take that into account. But I honestly, I don't believe the governor is racist.
This is a tough one to an extent, because... It is possible he's still racist to an extent. It's possible.
I actually saw that his wife was just trending on Twitter because of something that she said. There was a tour, I guess, being hosted. I don't know where it was, but she handed black kids, like, cotton and said, like, imagine having to pick this. I just saw that, like, yesterday.
That's a bit iffy.
I don't know, you know, if these accounts are true or not. You know, there's a lot of twisted media. You know, she could have said something completely different, and there could have been a completely different context. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. That does not help her husband's case.
Yeah. I do want to finish this point, but after this I wanted to talk about the media. You just reminded me of that, and, like, the establishment media and all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so should you... get fired for something that didn't come up in your, like, interview and stuff like that? Maybe. This is a really tough one for me. I just don't know.
I think it's a case-by-case kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think you can make broad, sweeping judgments about this. Like, if it was something that happened, like, decades and decades ago, maybe not. Like, a lot of people were upset with people who... were anti-gay in, like, the 2000s, but have now come around, mm-hmm. right? People were upset at Hillary for that, and I think to an extent rightly so. She didn't come out as for gay marriage until, like, 2014 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But...
Because, I mean, in her campaign, she was all about that.
Right. So, this is a tough one, and I think you're right. It has to be a case-by-case thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wanted to talk about the media next. The establishment media, mm-hmm. fake news, right? A lot of the time, I don't think that the mainstream media is being completely fair to all sides.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Media is so twisted nowadays. It is really hard to trust anything you read. It's just, especially where you get your news, that has to play a major role in, you know, what you're getting out of the story. Because you'll read something, for example, on CNN, get one story that's very extreme.
And
you go to Fox, and you get the complete opposite side, you know?
One thing I wanted to talk about with Fox and MSNBC specifically, as I understand it, they're the media wings of the different parties, right? MSNBC is the media wing for the Democratic Party, and Fox for the Republicans. And I think it's like really the establishment types that get viewed on these different networks, like MSNBC. You never ever see an anti-establishment co-host or talking point or anything. It's all Russia, Russia, Russia all day long, right?
Yeah.
And on Fox News, you, I think, to an extent, see more anti-establishment voices, like Rand Paul and Ron Paul. They were featured more. And Tucker Carlson, to an extent.
I love him.
To an extent, I think he's more anti-establishment than the rest.
I think he honestly just says whatever's in his mind, and
yeah.
I love that.
I haven't seen a whole lot of segments from him, but to
you
an extent...
You need to. You'll probably hate every minute, but you need to.
There are a few things where I think I might agree with him. Like, I believe he's anti-war, right? Maybe... Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. You'd have to look that one up.
Okay,
one thing I wanted to bring up, since we did talk about the media, and we both agree that it's very twisted.
Right.
So, I don't know if you've heard about this, but how they're taking down statues and monuments for people who
are...
Yeah,
that was a big story 1 or 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, actually my old high school, they went and changed the name from Robert E. Lee to someone else with a...
It was Robert E. Lee High School?
Yes, it
oh, no.
was. Big statue of him in the middle of the hallway.
Yikes.
Yeah, they wanted to change it to someone else with the last name Lee. I actually don't think it... I don't know. I don't think it happened. From what I've heard, it didn't happen. It
Yikes.
May have. I moved away, so I don't know. But actually, there was a General Lee statue, and I think this was in North Carolina. And, you know, people are like, let's take this down. He had slaves. He was racist. He was a bad guy.
Before you go on, one thing I wanted to mention about Lee is that he specifically said, don't make statues about me. I'm pretty sure.
Did he?
I'm almost entirely sure
hilarious.
He didn't say, don't make
that
statues.
That would save
of
a
us.
Lot of problems now, you know. So, yeah, they thought it was Robert E. Lee's statue. It was General Lee, William Lee.
I'm not familiar with him.
Me either.
Okay.
He's a general.
Okay.
From the World War II. That's where he's from.
Oh.
World War. Yeah. They thought it was Robert E. Lee.
Yikes.
And they took down his statue. Like, it shattered on the ground. This guy was from World War II.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I think
they need to do a little more research before they just go knocking statues down.
But on the main point of this, do you think that we should take down the monuments of Confederate soldiers and stuff? And one bit of context I wanted to give about this is that most of these statues were actually built during the Civil Rights Movement, when black people were trying to get their rights, right? Get the right to vote and all. Just because of that, I, to an extent, believe that we should take them down, because in a lot of circumstances, they were monuments to racism, to keep black people down, tell them, hey, this is white people country, to an extent, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of the time, that's what it was about.
I think, again, this is another case-by-case topic, because there are certain leaders who have statues, but they also owned slaves, but they were not a bad person.
That's
I
true.
Think if it was someone who was a very well-known racist and was, you know, a very
right.
awful slave owner, I think those should be taken down, because you're right, that was used for that specific reason.
Right.
If it was someone like a president who did a lot of good
yeah.
and just had slaves, you know, I think
I agree.
It's fine.
And, yeah. I think that's a lot of what a lot of the thought that has to go into it, and the time that it was built, I think that should be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was built in, like, 1963,
it's iffy.
Maybe
you
think
gotta
about
see
that.
Who it is, you
maybe
know?
Maybe think about that one. But if it was built in, like, 1875, yeah, maybe keep that one
yeah.
up, maybe. Yeah, so I think that's just about that for that topic.
Uh-huh.
The Green New Deal, that was a big
oh my
one
God.
Recently.
That was great, wasn't it? No.
It
who
was
AOC,
it? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's the one who proposed it.
No, who lectured the kids who wanted
oh
that.
Oh my God, yes. I heard, I don't know if it was Nancy Pelosi.
I thought
not.
It was Nancy Pelosi, but I
okay.
could be wrong.
It could be Nancy Pelosi, but I know it was an old established Democrat, right?
Yes.
She was not having it with those kids, right?
Yes.
So
you know what? I liked that.
I didn't. So, for those of you who don't know in the audience, a couple weeks ago, one of the establishment Democrats, we think it's Nancy Pelosi.
We could be wrong.
She was approached by a group of young kids, like 12 to 17, something like that. And they were asking her to co-sponsor the Green New Deal. They had, like, a nice big written letter for her, and she was just really rude in lecturing these kids about, oh, we can't do it, oh, it's not realistic, you need to grow up, I'm the responsible ones, stuff along those lines. And I thought that was just really, well, first of all, how she went about it was just rude, honestly.
No, it was Dianne Feinstein, that's who it was. Okay, I had
Feinstein.
To do a fact check.
Apologies, yeah.
Yes.
Dianne Feinstein. She's
but she was quite honest about it. She's like, where are we, you know, she had the kids propose where they want to get the money from. She's like, well, that's just not possible, you know?
Okay. And, you know, they're kids. They don't really know a whole lot about politics yet, but I think their hearts were in the right place in that they want to protect the planet for themselves because they're going to be the ones experiencing it, and a
but
lot
again,
of us on
kids,
campus.
I don't think they fully understand everything that they are talking about with this topic.
To an extent, I think you're right, but I think they know it's going to affect them, right?
Yes.
Climate change is real and man-made, and we can do something about
there
it,
there are
right?
certain things we can do to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support the, you know,
Green New Deal.
Yeah.
I do support it, right? I think that we're already feeling the effects of climate change, right? Extreme weather
events.
It's been
so cold here in Houston.
Now, if you're going to make the argument of it's cold, therefore no global warming.
No, I'm not saying there's no global warming. I'm just saying it's been really cold.
Right, there's going to be more extreme weather events, and a lot of the real cold that happened, like, in early February or January.
Mm-hmm. Last year it snowed 3 times.
Up in the north states by Canada, they had the, like, negative 50 degree temperatures.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah.
That's where it was.
That was due to the melting of the polar ice caps and bringing the polar icy vortex down, right, that airstream more
uh-huh.
down south, and allowing that to go over these states, right? But back on the Green New Deal, I think that it's very necessary to take precautions about global warming because, as I understand it, if we allow the global temperatures to increase more than 2 degrees Celsius, we'll experience really serious negative consequences. Right now, the streets of Miami are flooding in parts of the year, right? And they're doing a massive infrastructure project to raise the elevation of the city and keep the water out. Now, there's going to be a lot more negative consequences right here on campus. We experienced Hurricane Harvey
yeah.
a year or so ago, and that destroyed most of the campus.
That was all. It destroyed most of Houston.
It destroyed,
yeah.
yeah, many, many thousands of people lost their homes.
It was awful.
Right, and extreme weather events like that are just going to happen.
Was that because?
To an extent, because they're... Because,
I mean, you know, hurricanes happen.
Right, hurricanes
yeah.
happen, but I think that the severity of it and the frequency of hurricanes are going to increase because the more global temperatures rise, the more water in the oceans evaporate, the more hurricanes are possible to form and make landfall, right? So we're going to see more extreme weather events due to climate change, and we need to take precautions against it. And I believe now the Green New Deal was saying we need to achieve net zero emissions by...
It was a certain year soon.
I forget what year, but it was soon-ish, right? Within the next decade or two or three.
Yeah. I think it was like 10 years, was it?
I don't know specifically the number of years, but it was sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Right?
I think this is a gradual thing. I don't think it can be, bam, next 10 years, problem solved.
Right. Now, I think that it is a major issue that I think would cause a lot more damages if we left it alone than if we were to invest the money now and prevent damages that may be caused. And, like, if we were to implement better flood protection here in Houston.
Which is needed. Mm-hmm. It is very needed.
Absolutely, because hurricane season is just a few months away, and we could experience more flooding again in Houston. So I think we need to pay the money, take the precautions against global warming, right?
Things like that, 100%, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Because that caused so much devastation to this town.
Right.
And I think some of the more... far-fetched things, like that's reasonable, but there's some things that's like not absolutely needed. That's why I think this is a very gradual thing, and I don't think it needs to be immediate. We need to do this and this. It's just, okay, we'll get the necessities down,
like,
and we deal as
like
it goes.
Flood prevention,
yes,
stuff like that.
Yeah, because in Houston, we, you know, it does flood here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of hurricanes here.
Right.
I lived here throughout two hurricanes. There's been more because
right.
I moved away. But, you know, that's something that's a necessity to Houston. We need that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, I think there are a couple specific things about the Green New Deal I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
One of them was eventually getting our net carbon output to zero, right? What do you think about doing that eventually?
Okay. I want you to... A net carbon. Explain that to me real quick.
So, net carbon output, that means making sure that we have enough carbon going back into the ground, like through trees and other means. I forget what exactly, but there are...
Is zero, like, realistic?
To an extent, we kind of need to.
Okay,
now,
yeah, we
let me,
need.
Let me finish, would be great. Let me finish explaining real quick. So... net zero carbon emissions, that's making sure that enough carbon stays in the ground so that we don't have to worry as much about the carbon that's, you know, getting released as, like, fossil fuels burning and stuff, right?
Okay. Now that I know, that's not realistic. No. That's just not going to happen. Think of our major metropolitan cities here in the U.S. That's just not going to happen. Those cities are using up so much energy, so much, you know, fossil fuels, all of that.
Right.
In those, you know, there's so many. It's just not going to happen in more rural areas. That might be realistic. Like,
yeah.
Hypothetically, that would be great. I just don't think it's realistic.
To an extent, I think it's really just necessary, and that's the big thing, right? We need to take major steps to...
what are these major steps?
I would say getting off of fossil fuels is the biggest one.
Like coal?
Like coal and natural gas, yeah.
We need
Okay,
do you know how many jobs are in that?
Let me finish my point real quick. And about the jobs thing, I think that there would be many, many jobs created if we were to invest in renewable energies, right? Let me finish here. So, I think that... Yes, we need to get off of fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, oil. And that would be achieved through, like, I believe the biggest polluters in the world are, like, the top 100 corporations, right? And I think, to an extent, we just need to put regulations on them to keep their... just for now, we need to put regulations on them to keep their emissions down. And for cars and stuff like that, we need to put regulations to say, oh, by like 2030 or whatever, all new cars have to be electric or hybrid or whatever, right? To just keep the pollution down, right? And I wanted
I'm
to.
gonna jump in. No,
Okay,
I'm gonna jump
go.
in because we only have a few minutes left. Coal, getting rid of that? No. Coal, there's so much jobs in that industry, okay? And that's what powers so many cities, especially up north. We get so much energy from that. We create so many jobs from that. It is a necessity. That's not going away.
I disagree. Now, I think that you're overestimating the amount of jobs that come from coal because, like,
My family
it takes
does.
like 12, from what I understand, I've heard that it takes 12 people to level a mountain with the amount of, like, explosives and high industrial machinery, right?
Yeah, but there are
Now,
other jobs in coal other than
that's
that.
true, but what And this is getting into a bit of like the futurism automation type thing where the jobs are going to come from after humans are basically not necessary to do most manual
That is
jobs.
a hypothetical.
I think it's an inevitability at some
It's a
point.
hypothetical. You don't know that for sure.
I disagree. Now, I wanted to make the point that getting off fossil fuels, coal, stuff like that. I think there are strong energy options. I think solar, wind, that stuff isn't going to work
Like the
everywhere, right?
windmills?
Stuff like the wind power, the ones, the big white ones.
Yeah, the windmill kind of
Yeah, stuff
things.
like that.
Those are ugly.
Anyway, those work in like sunny and windy parts of the country,
That's up in North Texas with all the flatland. Those are there. But those can't be everywhere.
They can't
No.
be everywhere, right? And we need to meet those energy goals by, like, to an extent, I know some of the more Greenpeace type people would disagree with me here, but I think nuclear power has to be a part of this equation, right? And I know
To
there's
eliminate it?
to, no, it has, we have to expand nuclear power,
Okay.
right? And we're specifically talking about nuclear fission here. That's the classic nuclear power we're thinking of. And we need to invest in the possibility of nuclear fusion. That's like what goes on in the sun. And if we were to find a way to make nuclear fusion energy possible, then that's what we need to invest heavily in because it's objectively the most efficient way of getting energy in the universe, right?
Did you hear about the argument to get rid of nuclear warfare and weapons? Did you hear about that?
I know that the anti-war position is get rid of nuclear weapons entirely, but what's the idea there?
Well, why would we want to do that with other countries who have great warfare with other countries, like example, North Korea?
Okay,
We don't want to go anti-nuclear on them, and then all of a sudden, bam, they come in with all this.
the idea is they have nukes, therefore we gotta have them to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
With the current situation, I don't see us getting rid of our nukes. I think
No,
that,
that's not gonna happen.
yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I just heard that. You reminded me of that.
And that gets, there's some scary stuff going on in the border between India and Pakistan, right? They're actually in conflict right now. This is the first time that,
That's probably the last place anyone wants to be right now.
This is actually the first time that two nuclear armed powers have been in direct military conflict with each other, and that's pretty scary.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that can escalate to like World War III.
It's possible, and that's pretty scary.
That's terrifying. That's the
But
last thing anyone wants.
I think that's all the time we have for today.
Okay.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Left, Right, and Center podcast.